All right, welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, and certainly welcome back to everybody as we've all finally gotten back home from the Pokemon World Championships in Anaheim, California. My name is Lynx, I'm joined, as always, by Bridget, and today we have two returning guests, I think for one of the first times ever, you know, back-to-back performances for Wonder Chef and Kelosaurus, as you both were on our pre-show, of course, and now coming here for the post-show as well. We love bookend appearances. So first off, Kelosaurus, my friend, I know it's probably morning for you sometime on your side of the globe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Honestly, going overseas has actually fixed my sleep schedule. Would you believe it?
Okay. So it was very bad before you went on your trip. Good to know. I think I was texting Bridget about like planning today's episode, and I was like, okay, I'm thinking about like inviting like Kello and Chef. Does that sound good? And Bridget responds, yes, our late night demon friends. And I'm like, yeah, that's like, true.
That is both of you.
Yeah, that's correct. Huh?
The demons.
Yeah, for very different reasons. Just anti-sleep in a few different ways. but Wonder Chef, you had a little bit less of a trip for your distance to get back home. So how have you been the last week or so?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely didn't fix my sleep schedule, okay. So I am still on a terrible sleep schedule. You should have asked me if I was going to be awake for this, and I would have said, maybe I'll wake up in time.
Okay.
It was weird. First Pokemon event, or I guess you'd say big Pokemon event that I have been able to drive to, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to bring home the boogie board, which is also really nice. And I should have taken the surfboard as well. And it was all perfect. But I mean, honestly, it was a really fun event. It felt like this was the fastest Worlds to me. So yeah. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, it was like over in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, and it was like we're first time on Championship Sunday. So canonically the longest, but feeling the fastest. That's wild. It was a crazy time. It was so fun for anybody who's listening. We all got the chance to be there. Bridget got to her first World Championships this time around, which is so sick. Doing the double header with NAIC and the World Championships this year. Maybe a repeat next year. We'll see.
We're gonna try.
Let's go.
Lose my voice both times. Yes. I need to work on that. I will be better.
Welcome to that exact club.
I have my honey.
Oh, perfect.
Just like new snacks.
So happy they posted that photo. I think everybody was except Dupe Snacks, but I thought it was hilarious.
It was so. It's the fact that it's like fully vertical. It's just really good.
Hey.
It's really good.
You say a lot of things about Dupe Snacks, but doing things halfway is certainly not one of them.
No, sir.
Honey sponsorship when?
Please. That would be awesome. For anybody who's worked in the commentary field with Dupe Snacks, you know that just out of camera view, and I mean just, there is always what feels like an entire pharmacy's worth of equipment at any given time. There's hot water. There's 10 different kinds of tea. There's full lemons cut into slices by our producer, Honey. It's incredible. Like, he moves it in and out on a cart. There's a lot of work that goes into being one of the best Pokemon Unite casters of all time. So, you know, you got to put in the work.
Amen.
But let's just talk about the World Championships as a whole first. Probably a little bit less Unite specific, but it can be, of course. But let's just start with the age-old. What was our favorite thing about the weekend? It was so long. It was so big. It was crazy. Kello, can you pick a single favorite thing about our the World Championships here in Anaheim?
You know what I'm like. I can never, ever pick one specific thing.
It's hard for all of us in this case. Don't worry.
Yeah. The arena, honestly, just have to highlight the stage floor.
So
the
good.
The work that went into it was incredible. Mm-hmm. And seeing that in action, I mean, besides, you know, so many other things that were my favorite, I think just seeing them level up, their production quality and everything like that was... Yeah. So good.
That was huge. And so just for people listening to this at home, if you were catching the stream like remotely and you didn't have the opportunity to be there in the arena for Pokemon Unite, you might have not gotten to see all of the crazy effects that were on it, because the stream, obviously, it's capturing the in-game moments for the majority of it. We didn't have too many like live arena views in the picture-in-picture or anything like that. when a Pokemon was selected by a player, it, then like behind their player station, it illuminated on stage, but it had a green background. And the really cool thing about that is our stat wizard behind the scenes of things linked it up so that that green background would deplete into like a gray as it took damage, which was a live API pull that we had, which is crazy. And then anytime they were knocked out, this was a detail I saw a lot of people missing, it would, a respawn timer would then populate right where that Pokemon was and count down until they were back in the match, which was so sick. I don't know if Rayquaza Bar showed up on stage or not. I don't know where they would have put it, honestly. Like, there was
I know where they would have put it.
Right.
It's a matter of players could probably look down and see it.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Oh, no.
Yeah, not really. It wasn't very, like, high up. Yeah.
Good point. It's a great point, actually.
Oh, yeah. Love the border, the wall.
Be easier to see than it is in game with all those KO UI, but whatever.
Period.
It always goes right over top of our ray bar. So yeah, I think this station absolutely incredible. But okay, Winter Chef, how about you? Favorite thing of the weekend?
I would say the arena, but like, fun fact for people out there, I didn't go in the arena the entire weekend.
Heck yeah.
I went in that one night where we got a chance to see it, and I was out on the what is it called? The like the watch party stream. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's second called the watch party, but I was out on that for the beginning of day three of Sunday and the end of Sunday and some of the middle of Sunday. So I was just out there the entire time.
I did see you over there.
Yeah. I was hanging out there a lot, which was really fun. I think my favorite part of this weekend where there were a lot of really fun, like, video bits, I think that, for all the games, I feel like we usually get a chance to do some really dumb, stupid, awesome things.
Correct.
And the other games got a chance to do some dumb, stupid, awesome things, which is refreshing.
I think they brought in kind of an elite team of dumb, stupid, awesome people. You know what I mean? Like, for this, for the cast for this world, it's like, we got Charlie for VGC coming from EU, and that, if anybody doesn't watch any VGC, he's the guy that posts the Pokemon one-liners videos that he does, so every time it comes back from break on VG, he's got some insane bit lined up. He ran those on Kello and I during a pre-record segment this time, so he's absolutely perfect at that. Obviously, we have the Unite team is just, we're wacky and wild. I know, like, Butters and Go always has, and Speediest Chief have some really crazy wacky ideas for bits and stuff. So,
and Amanda.
Yeah, and Amanda too. Yeah, we dragged her into a few of ours as well. So yeah, we had some we definitely had a lot of room to work, which was awesome. Bridget, how about you? What was your favorite thing of the weekend?
It's so hard. I've been describing it as Pokemon heaven. Like, I'm just like, it was like, so like, if anyone has been to NAIC, it's just like 3-4 times the size. It was just like overwhelming in like a good way. But I mean, truly probably my favorite part was the side event. I had the best side event experience. Like, it was like scripted. It was so fun. Like, just the best people, and we had,
tell the story. What happened?
Yeah, we, like, get there. I'm, like, there early. I'm, like, where's my team? They're already late. Like, this isn't a good sign. But it was, like, the last side event of the – it was, like, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah. And, like, kid, he's probably, like, no older than, like, 8, comes up with, like, his dad, and he, like, sits down, and his dad looks at me, and he's, like – he's like, he's really good. Just tell him where to go. And I'm like, sir, yes, sir. Like, you've given me the task. Like, I'm on it. And we get there, and like, first game, he's like, I'm playing Machamp. And we're like, all right, you're playing Machamp. Let's go. And we did pretty well, but we lost. And we're like, okay, you know, like, it's all right. Like, we'll just go again or whatever. And then we go into the next game, and the enemy team bans this Machamp. First of all, crazy. We're like, wow. Target banning you, bro. Like, oh my god.
That's
like,
crazy.
They've been hearing things. Like, we are just kind of gassing this kid up, obviously, because he's hilarious. Like, he's calming. Like, he's like, when he was playing Submission of a Champ, he's like, I'm gonna grab him. He's like, and now I'm gonna punch him. And like, he was like living. He loved the mic. Like, it was like, he was having fun.
Good.
So they target ban his Machamp. Horrible. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, all right, what else do you play? Like, what do you want to play? He's like, I can play Wigglytuff. We're like, all right, lock it in.
What a pool.
The Wigglytuff build was a little concerning. I was like, can I see your controller? Let me, I'm gonna take off that Razor Claw really quick, buddy. And no more muscle band. I'm gonna help you. And so, but he remember, like, because in draft mode, it doesn't like save your build. And then game three, he played it again and he like remembered exactly what it was. And I was like, wow. Oh,
okay.
It was a sponge. This kid's a demon. Yeah. And he was amazing on Wigglytuff, like really doing his thing. I mean, we end up going 2-1. Like, he was beating adults, which like it really gave me a new perspective on who my solo queue teammates are. I'm like, oh, they're all this child. Like, I understand, I can see clearly now. But it was amazing. Like, his dad was just like living, like taking so many like videos. Like, aww. We were taking selfies afterwards. We're like, we need a team photo. Like, we like all added each other on Discord. It's like us and his dad.
Awesome.
Because we found out he like plays with his dad and like his dad's friends, and his dad sent us like the nicest Discord message. He's like, thank you guys so much. Like, you created a core memory. Like, he was on such a high after that. And he's like, he sent you all friend requests. And I'm like, if Pika Pika asked me to join the lobby, I'm there. I'm there so fast. Anyway, that's my long rant. But
it's so good.
Do the Unite side events. This was like such a fun group of people.
Yeah.
And like, who doesn't want a kid just being like, nap time, babies, every time he's like singing Wigglying, like, we're like, yeah, let's go. Sing
demon comms. Demon comms.
He was comsing really well. He was saying every engage. He's dunking top lane. He was going crazy. It was awesome.
Nap time, babies.
Oh, yeah. That's
incredible.
The core memory for me.
That's so good. I was saying this in a couple of spots, but I think that Pokemon Unite side events are a very unique, cool thing at these convention style events that the ICs and Worlds have become, because all the other games do have side events, but the vast majority of them are single player experiences, right? If you are very friendly and interested in that, maybe you could make friends with your opponents that you get matched up with or something, but Unite, you get on a team of four random people, and then you play matches, three matches against like three different teams. Like, that is such a cool experience to meet new people, have a chance to, well, try the game, obviously, but just like, it's a really cool opportunity to meet new people and make friends, which I think is so awesome. So, love.
Yeah,
love,
highly recommend. I always try to do it at least one every time now, and I will continue to do so. It's worth like going out of your way.
Totally.
And then you get points for the prize wall.
Exactly. You're sick. I have been pitching this Unite side event for a while. They've not said yes yet, maybe for good reason. I think it'd be very fun if we did one where every 2 minutes, everyone had to put their controller down and then move to the next seat. And then play on a different Pokemon for 2 more minutes, and then you have to move to the next.
That is so funny.
Devices would be broken. It'd be such a bad idea.
Liability.
There is no way that should be allowed to happen. But I think it would be awesome. Okay, I never said my favorite moment. I think my favorite moment of the weekend, I might tag onto the arena as well. I cried in game one. In game one of Peru vs. Zeta, I was tearing up watching that because I was like, this is what I always dreamed Unite would be. Like, I talked about it a few times, is that like, I watched a lot of esports events happen in that arena from like home, like live on Twitch and everything. And so to see my game being played up there with teams that I've now followed for multiple years, seeing a rematch matchup, like a storyline matchup happen on that stage, like, I was just like, we're esports, we have history, this is just so cool. And it's like getting the flowers it deserves, if that like makes any sense. And so I was like, I was just losing my mind. I was so, so excited. I got the the chance to do the winner's interviews. Thank you so much to Anna Prosner for allowing me to steal one of her jobs for the day and go on there and do the winner's interview with Peru, because that was also very cool to see a team that has been so close so many times finally get the big one was pretty awesome. Yeah, and those guys are great. We had the chance to party with them a little bit after and the night they won, and yeah, they were pretty excited. Dupe Snacks was lifting them in the air. I don't know if you guys saw those photos.
I know. I saw them like walking when I was like going home, and I was "That's a Nemo. That's a Nemo." They look so swagged out.
Yeah, Nemo and Zidane were like, "We're champs!"
Oh my god,
they were pretty cool. Pumped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. So yeah, should we transition a little bit into more Unite-centric stuff? Actually, okay, kind of. We're going to halfway transition it, because we got to talk about this Marble video, folks. We got to talk about the Marble video.
Good.
Yeah, so, okay, for those listening, you're going to get context, which is funny because nobody else got it at any point during the weekend at EUIC. At EUIC, Spraggles and Dupe Snacks started this bit announcing that players would be qualifying for the World Championships, which is in Anaheim, California, which is, of course, home of the world's largest marble. Obviously, they didn't know that or check it or anything, and even check to see if there was a world's largest marble, which worked in our favor because we looked and there is nothing listed, at least obviously, of there being a world's largest marble. So it's like, it could be true. And we kept telling production, we're like, we really need to pay this bid off. Like, we've been doing this a lot. And they're like, we have no idea how. And we're like, okay, but we really need to pay it off. And so that led to content day, and there were a few conversations I had, and ultimately it was like, so what do you guys want to do for the marble video? And, well, it led to that. Of all of us being terrified to answer a few questions. Did we scream for that long? Yes. Why did we do that? Because during recording, Spraggle said, when I raise my hand up, you scream, and when I put it down, you stop. And I swear that hand was up from dusk till dawn. Like, we were screaming for so
producer
long.
Spraggles. Wow. He was leading content day like the Navy.
Yes. Now, Maps, there is a marble. It was the world's largest marble. It was the one that we were clearly terrified of because it could roll towards us and crush us, which also wasn't super clear in the video that's what we were scared of.
It just seemed like you guys were like, yeah, really? You really didn't like the marble. And like, I kind of knew what was going on. And like, anytime it played, like, I was laughing.
Right.
But then you have like the sweet little go casters having like a plushie off. Mm-hmm. And then it like transitions to like that, where you guys are like screaming and it's kind of like dystopian and like confusing. And I really liked it. I think you guys did great.
Yeah. And that was the Marble video, and that sucker played, of course, right at the start of our production for Pokemon Unite, and it also somehow made it into the rotation in the preamble before the closing ceremonies of the World Championships on the main Pokemon channel, where I would say the majority of casual fans are tuning in for that specifically and only during the broadcast of the World Championships. I think there was a lot of, what is this, inside the arena during Championship Sunday when that thing played out. So, yeah, it was kind of peak. any other Marvel video-related stories from you two, Kello or Chef, that I didn't hit?
No, I think that's just Unite in a nutshell.
It kind of was.
Pretty much, it's just the context. If you do not know, you just do not know. And it's, hey, yo.
Also, thank you so much to someone who just gifted 10 subs in our Twitch chat. That is the very kind of you. Thank you very much.
All of our subs go to charity, I think, Shell.
That is true. Yeah, they do. They do. They do.
we feel like that, I think, still.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lie, but they do.
Yes, they do. Don't worry. Yeah. Thank you so much. But yeah, the Marble video was crazy. Yeah, Chef. Sorry, what's up?
Oh, yeah. So Kello did like point it out, kind of. She put the two, but we did that scream twice for a really long time. I think it should be pointed out. And it was in public.
Yeah.
And everybody did look at us. for a very long time. It was one of the maybe most like embarrassing public moments I've ever had in my entire life while we're sitting there. But I just cannot explain us finishing. And then they're like, can you guys do it one more time? And I seriously asked, do we really need to?
Like, I promise we got it.
What'd you miss?
But then also, I was up there. I was up there for whatever reason in the, like, I don't know, the pre-post show, whatever we want to call that.
Uh-huh.
And we sat up there and... our host from Pokemon Go was like, hey, so we've got this video. I don't know if you can explain to us what's up with the marble.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually can't. I think you just need to watch the video. And so I really didn't give any context to the, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people or whatever it was watching.
Right. That's even like more mysterious and cool, though. You're like, it's just, you had to be there.
Uh-huh. you know, type situation.
Yeah. I don't even think you do know if you know, but it was good. Apparently it was quite the hit amongst everybody this weekend.
Unite people.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention, during the watch party. Oh, no, it was the wrap up, the closing ceremony and everything.
Yeah.
Having all of the plushies, everybody coming behind all the casters with all the plushies and the Geodude just walking by. It was amazing. Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. I loved it too. Honestly, I think, we're probably not going to talk too many negatives because there's a couple of things that we probably want to call out about this world. But like one part was they had us back in the back rooms doing all the casting this year, which is a bit of a bummer. Normally at the World Championships, they have us out in the crowd casting, which is like incredible. And then you get a lot of moments like that with like people walking by and like holding up their plushies and stuff like that in front of the camera. But we didn't get any of that this time, which is a bit of a bummer. But the stage itself did look very cool. So at least people had something cool to look at while watching the show because there was a Pikachu car that we got in and out of a lot, actually. More than I expected them to allow us to do. At the start of the show, with Doobsnax, I think, leading off with an interview in the car to start the day, which is pretty cool. But okay, let's talk about the tournament, shall we? We had almost every team show. I think we had 4 withdrawals from the tournament, if I'm getting that correct. The 3 Chinese teams could not make it to the events. 5 total.
Korea.
Okay, Korea as well, and Infamous Gaming from Latin America South. That's right. Okay, so 5 total withdrawals from the event. There was one group stage alteration that happened with Onyx moving into Luminosity and Rejects group. But other than that, let's take a look at the group stage just quickly. Pull up Liquipedia here. I think there were only a couple of groups that I think were big surprises in how they actually resulted. I'd say Group A, I don't know how many people actually considered Stamina to make it out of the group. I think that was between Gen 5 and Stamina. There's a lot of different predictions. And then for them to go 3-0, I think was a pretty big result. I think Aegis Flames beating Zeta Division and Onic Rise might take the day for craziest upset storyline, with Onic Rise like 3rd place last year. Technically the highest placing of last year's World Championships at this event to get out in group stage was a huge shock. Santos Laguna, I don't know if a lot of people had them predicted for Group E. I know some did. So not maybe the craziest, but still very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, but other than that, I think maybe a little business as usual, but still a pretty exciting group stage day. Does anybody have, can you think back to the group stage matches, any favorite matches out of this one? Any favorite storylines happening in this throughout the day?
Aegis Flames.
Man, yeah. Aegis was awesome.
They left their mark. It was incredible.
To get a Zeraora permaban against you is so impressive. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, I was just rewatching that match literally last night because I was so lucky to be able to cast that one.
Mm-hmm.
Soph and I, and boy, that was such a good match. Like the getting the zero aura at first was of course just like ridiculous, and then the third game where like it's like, well, can I still win with that zero aura? And I don't know, it was just so hype. It was so good, the back and forth. I mean, like, obviously the upset was good, but Zeta Division played really well as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was the best set, I think.
Yeah, such a fun one. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, for them to beat the eventual runner-ups is kind of crazy, right? Like, in the storyline of the tournament, too. It's kind of impressive to see. I think Group B was kind of crazy. Like, Team EX beating Peru, definitely did not have on my radar. Also credits of them to be the only team to beat Peru in the entire tournament, as they would then go on to be world championships. That was pretty crazy. How about you, Bridget? I know you got the chance to watch the matches in the crowd. Were any during the group stage particularly exciting? Or I know there was a lot of memorable ones in single elimination, but
for sure. I would say I really liked watching Nouns on stage day one against Paper X. I was, I know they had the V1 win, but I was like, okay, how's Nouns going to be looking this weekend? Mm-hmm. And the answer was phenomenal. Like, it was really fun to see them kind of like do their thing on stage against such a like dynamic and fun team like Paper X too. So that one was a standout for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely kind of floating in between. Like, I sat kind of like where like the B stage matches were, and then we're also kind of like watching the main stage where I could. I would say a low was maybe watching NA lose on both screens at the same time at one point. I was like, Jesus Christ, you guys, come on. I needed one of you. But it was more like looking back, it's more just like funny. But it's like, of course, my home team curse is still in effect, if anyone was wondering. Maybe next year.
Yeah. Yeah, NA having a tough go of it, especially in group stage. I mean, that is the dark side, I guess, of having five teams go, is that the losses feel a little harder with, Revelation, You Need Coaching, and Version 1 all getting no W's in the win column. That, that hurt a little bit. But.
And NA did not win on the main stage at all during day one.
Yes.
That's a lot of fun fact. So yeah. It was like an OJ game. I think it was OJ and Stamina, which Stamina won. I was like, yikes.
Right. Yeah. And then we had LG versus Reject, and Reject beat them. And then and SAUL versus You Need Coaching was also on main stage, right? So,
yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was not a good day for NA on day one broadcast, but
not exactly a highlight reel. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but always still proud of the NA teams. So,
how about you, Kello? Any favorite moments, matches, anything like that from day one?
As I mentioned, the Aegis Flames one, just seeing them was incredible. I also, I like that we ended up highlighting the B stage, or the feature stream, as they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Having that come in between games and everything was actually really, really great, because it was just, so awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that
downtime. At least we had something to watch and go off. So, and I know there were moments where they'd show like up to a certain point because it was displayed in real time, but then suddenly our match would be ready and it's like, oh, we have to cut it here. Let's head on into our match. But then they'd end up going back and rewatching what ended up happening at the end of the B stage match. So I don't know. It was kind of, you know, you're left on a cliffhanger of, oh, what's going to happen in this match? But wait, we need to go back here.
Uh-huh.
And then coming back here, like, I just felt like that was a really nice touch.
Yeah. I think so too.
Production-wise, yeah.
Shout out to that one moment. I think it was Spraggles and Deuce Nice casting, where there was an insane ending to a match, but the draft was starting the next game. So they put the casters in one box, the B stage match in the bottom box, and then the draft of the upcoming match happening. That was definitely a game time decision from production to be able like, can we do this? I think. But they did a great job to make it happen.
That was cool.
No, they did.
Yeah, production was great.
Even with the interviews on day two with Soph, having Soph down the bottom, the cast is, I can't remember the order, but it was kind of, you know, having that draft and that interaction between what's happening on stage or on the floor and then the cast is at the back in the booth and the draft, like just yeah, the whole production quality, I feel like I've said it multiple times, was just so well done.
Yeah.
This time around.
Yeah, I think we've been leveling up quite a bit. Also, for those of you who really liked having B-stream footage, I think you got a lot of good things to look forward to in the future. For next year, I'd be pretty excited about that. So I'm happy we're getting more of these on broadcast. That's awesome. Specifically for like group stage, of course, just as much as we can. But in day two, you know, having at least a spot to see everybody can see any elimination game at any given point. That's awesome. Like there's a YouTube VOD of every match that happened on B stage. That's incredible. So I love that. I've even seen some players making content out of it. I saw some Santos Laguna members like putting up like on TikTok like highlights of their wins on B stage. And I'm like, that's sick. I'm like, go Kira. Yeah.
I was so good. Kira was unlocked.
Kira was, man, that team was popping off.
Dark horse.
Yeah, they crushed. We'll talk more about them in a day two for sure. But the fact they went 3-0 in day one was kind of sick. So shout outs to them. Okay. I think that kind of ends the day one group stage chat, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. I think everything else sort of moved along as we expected. One of my favorite matches, I don't even know if I threw in my two cents, but I would reiterate that announced paper. I think Kello and I got to cast that one, right? That one was nice. That one was so fun. That match was really good. And it's so fun because Nouns as a team does a lot of things playstyle-wise that we don't see very often from other squads. It's like kind of Orange Juicers, Nouns, are these very few teams that play like... They don't score. Like they play so carefully. Like they play anti-mistake more than they do like hyper-aggression, which we've seen from other teams, which is kind of a cool dichotomy to talk about. So any chance that I get to nerdily ramble about play style, I'm going to take. So I really did like that Nouns Paper X game. But that wasn't the most exciting Nouns game of the weekend.
Crazy.
That honor goes to another team, which is Demonic. So let's talk about Day two on the single limb bracket. Let me zoom in here so it's not so tiny on our screen. There we go. Day two. An insane lineup of games. A little inside baseball. It's not entirely up to us. However, production and tournament offs definitely listen to our feedback in terms of what matches that we would like to see on mainstream as opposed to B stream. We debated for a long time in the hotel lobby about what matches we thought should be really important to see. And ultimately, we saw more B stage games on the live stream because of a lot of tech delays. So it didn't really matter.
The opposite of what we were anticipating. We should have just flipped it around.
Yeah. I think because of all the delays, I think Spraggles and Doofsnax legitimately casted three matches, including their first scheduled main stage match and then two B stage matches. They like casted it back and forth. It was truly wild. But anyways, let's talk day two. We had top 16 teams here, as you can see. Storylines, I would say, kind of stayed pretty consistent. Luminosity looked like they had bounced back early on in the day. Aegis Flames took down a Japanese team, which was crazy. But I think, right at the start of the top 16, the big talk was LATAM and Japan, with Japan having all four reps in top 16, and Latin America having, I think, three out of four, which was crazy. Like, I think that was a very unexpected result, but... some good stuff. Anyway, let's just talk. Anybody have any interesting matches in this bracket they want to talk about?
I know you mentioned it as well, Chef, that we had eight unique regions in the top eight as well, which is actually really really cool. After that round one, but I mean, you know, you kind of touched on it before. We're talking about interesting matches. I mean, Nouns going up against LG. I think that was probably one of the big ones of day two. And obviously that game three and that as you mentioned, just ridiculous, diabolical score comp.
Evil, wild, but. So fun to watch.
And you have, Kella, by far the best reaction moment of any of our broadcasts ever. with that mid-draft reaction. It's so funny to the score comp. I love it.
there needs to be a tier list done of caster reactions.
Yeah,
and
that's a good one.
Which ones are the best? Because I mean, I feel like there's some pretty good caster reactions out there.
We do, I guess we do have some ones. Yeah, me and Spraggles reacting to the tie was kind of insane. Yeah, yes. We have some
physical blowback. Yeah,
yeah,
physical blowback. Yeah,
we literally like ran backwards like 4 feet. We're like,
I know, I feel like you
slid. Like it was like someone was pulling you away.
Just wanted to slide on that floor so bad.
Yeah, it was the demons talking.
Exactly. They're in my brain. But okay, either way, yeah, I think that match so crazy. But yeah, Kel, I'm glad you brought that up. That was such a cool moment that we had 8 unique regions in the top 8. I don't know if that'll ever happen again. You know, like this feels like a pretty special thing for this tournament. But Wonder Chef, I know you were pretty hyped about that. Any of these teams in the top 8 that you're like, oh, okay, like at this point in the tournament, you were like, oh, they're going all the way. Between Peru, Aegis, Mountains Luminosity, Team EX Zeta, Cakelock, Santos Laguna. Every now and then I remind myself that this is an audio medium as well. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should say some things out loud. But anyway, any of those 8 top 8 teams that you were like, this team's going to the grand final.
Well, first I got to like repeat it again. I know I tweeted it, but that one picture that the United Esports Twitter tweeted of the Nouns versus Luminosity match, where there's the 3, like, I think they're Japanese fans with LG signs in front, and then all the Nouns fans in the back with the noggles. Mm-hmm. I hate saying that word. And they're all looking up like just like they're watching the most like amazing thing I've ever seen. It's one of my favorite pictures ever in esports. It's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah, that match was so good. But honestly, when I saw this being the top 8, my thought was completely incorrect, where I was like, Aegis Flames is unstoppable. They defeated Zeta, they defeated Insomnia, and they did it so handedly. And then immediately, they, I think, played one of the most interesting games of the weekend, where Peru just destroyed them. Which was super interesting in the fact that, like, we got to get the context afterwards where Peru was saying, oh, we practice with Aegis Flames a lot. And they had some of the best singular counterplay to a singular specific strategy that I maybe have, like, ever seen in Unite. The way that they dealt with the Zeraora, they lit it through, and they're using the follow me, right? It was all just so incredibly smart. And the fact that they said they played together and they both looked like such good teams throughout the weekend, it is not surprising to me that Peru was the winners, obviously.
True.
Yeah, it is cool. They're scrim partners like that. That makes sense. Also, I think we were kind of unanimous in the idea that Brazil probably had the hardest group stage draw out of any region.
Easily.
Aegis Flame continued that into bracket. Like, another Japanese team in Insomnia. And then your next matchup is the literal future world champions. Like, oh my word. And if they won, they would have had to play so LG. Bad. Like, oh my gosh. Aegis Flames had not a single, like, match other than Titans the entire time. It was crazy.
I have like one of those hot takes that we've had. Pretty much we have one of these at every Worlds where I think if Aegis Flames was on the other side of the bracket, or maybe even if Peru's on the other side of the bracket, it would have been Aegis Flames Peru Grand Finals.
I really
think there's a high chance of that.
I subscribe to that.
Yeah, but that would have not been good because Peru annihilated them, and so we would have had another 3
bad grand final, exactly.
Yeah. So
the way I'll
take
off
this,
when
I love having Sin Grants.
The way I popped off when Zeta got a map win was so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Zeta won the first one. When Peru got the game 2 win in the arena, and I was like, yes, not a 3-0, finally. And I know Spraggles and Dupesnax were feeling the same thing because I don't know if they've ever casted not a 3-0 grand final. So they finally had a chance to shake it up, but it was crazy.
I mean, honestly,
we talked a lot about that.
Well, I was just going to talk about the Peru Luminosity game.
I can't believe
we got a game 5 and that it actually mattered that it was 5 games. Like if it was a 3-0, LG wins. Mm-hmm. But Peru comes, oh my god, it was insanity.
Yeah.
And I found out the Kram pick was a mistake. I did not know that.
Yeah.
100% win rate.
100%. That's what I like to see. But it does, like, you know, it shut down Ray Pit. Like, what are you going to do? Walk right up to the cram uniting in the pit? You exactly. get KO'd. It like, kind of, I mean,
there's no
they
options.
Made it work, which is even crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane. Gelo, I know you called out that Nouns Luminosity matchup as being one of your favorites, of course. I think we're all so jealous you got the opportunity to cast that. You and Danley did such a good job, too. How about the semifinals? Peru Luminosity, Zeta Division Santos Laguna. Anything to say about the end of Saturday?
Honestly, by then, my brain was absolutely fried.
Yeah.
I think you guys have pretty much covered it in just the Peru Luminosity game was just such a good set to watch.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really remember much of Zeta Division Santos Laguna.
Okay. Then let me jump in defense.
I'm looking at the 3-0.
Right.
I guess maybe that speaks for itself.
Of a 3-0 set because this match, the Zeta Division Santos Laguna match, that Chef and I got the opportunity to cast this one. And I was telling Chef before, this might be the most anticipated match I've ever been to cast a game. Like, I was so excited. Like, I think if this was Zeta Luminosity, I'd probably be feeling the same effect. But Zeta Division being like this like storied, strong team, but like masters of aggressive playstyle, right? Like they run it down your throat at any given moment. If they break your tier one, they're going jungle. If they if they sweep your jungle, they're going after like whatever. Santos Laguna, they posted a screenshot that I think Big Uzi had my favorite reply tweet of the entire weekend, where Anisus had like a 17 knockout game against Reject at the start of the day.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jesus. 17 knockouts on the winners of PJCS is crazy, bro. I'm like, yeah. And so I was just like, I can't wait to watch. And so even though it was a 3-0, I do think it still illustrated that like hyper aggressive play style for both teams, and it was so fun. It was like these teams were just smashing into each other from the get-go, and it was, I don't know, I found it very hype. Wonder Chef, what did you think of this match we got to cast over?
Yeah, it was, I know it's such a cliche to say like a close 3-0, but it really was like a very, very close 3-0. It was very back and forth every game, and it felt like it could have kind of gone the way that LG Peru went, where it was extremely close. I do have one question, though. You said that that Santos Laguna 3-0'd their group. Is that right? I thought they made it out in losers of their group.
Well, they got first.
No, they came second
they got first.
Main group. Santos did, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking, maybe I mixed them up with Stamina. That could be my bad. They lost the QT Dig. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so that was the other cool stat, right? So top 8, we got one of every region. Top 4 in Worlds, every single team in the top 4 of Worlds did not win their group in group stages. One came out second place, which is an unbelievable stat. Yeah. Like, how is that even possible? And it, I think, is a really good sign that this is a great format compared to maybe a few, you know, years ago where we had a one out in pools. So I love our current format that we run right now, and it's so cool to see these teams getting the second chances, and then it's all second chances in the top 4.
Yeah, crazy. It was a great match. That is a funny stat, and potentially a curse. So for those of you who are going to be competing in the World Championships next year, make sure you get second out of your group, because it means you will make it all the way the top 4 at bare minimum. But yeah, I think let's talk about Championship Sunday then. So going into Championship Sunday, I want to know who each of you honestly thought was going to win the tournament. Not like, you know, not like who you wanted to win or like who you're cheering for, but who you thought was going to win. And I'm going to go on paper. I definitely thought Zeta Division was going to win on Championship Sunday because I got the chance to cast that team, and Tommy, I don't know exactly how they pronounce their name, on Garchomp went absolutely insane in the semifinal. I think probably the major reason they won that entire match. And I was like, okay, they finally got Tommy like online and in a position where they're comfortable. This is going to be crazy. Grand final start. Peru just has an incredible tournament. But anyway, I was going in thinking Zeta Division. Kello, how about you? Where were you thinking to start the day?
We did do our CASA predictions, but Peru. Peru.
Okay.
That was where my heart was lying. I don't know, just going. I know when they asked for our predictions, it was like, It wasn't really a study. It was, nah, Peru's got this one.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, the momentum of beating LG, like your bracket demons for literal years and during this tournament. Like, I mean, what a way to have some momentum going into Championship Sunday. How about you? How about you, Wonder Chef? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I also did my prediction of the pre-show. I thought it was Zeta for sure.
Okay.
I thought Zeta looked so good. And to be honest, if I look back at like how I saw Peru playing before Grand Finals and how I saw Zeta playing before Grand Finals, I would make the same prediction. But it felt like in Grand Finals that Peru was just like on another level. Yeah. I mean, even like going down to the last game where they're just picking their comfort picks and like just, I don't know. It was one of the most like energy filled games that I've ever seen, like from a team. Like they just brought everything that they had. It was like nothing they've ever done. So I thought it was Zeta 100% and they completely proved me wrong.
All right. How about you, Bridget? Time to be honest. Who were you picking?
I definitely thought Zeta, but like I was definitely feeling like the LATAM Brazil like movement at Worlds this year. I like wanted Peru really bad, but the storyline it had in my head was like Zeta really wasn't dropping any games day two. Like they were looking pretty crazy. And I was like, oh, this is like EUIC, like run back. Like Zeta is going to be like hungry for like their revenge when Peru won EUIC when they were Kabi-chan. So I was like, Zeta's going to get that. This is their revenge arc. But Peru, man, finally like clutch out and like clutch out in like the biggest tournament. It was. I was like kind of across from, I was like close to where like Dupesax and Spraggles were casting.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was kind of cool. I could like see where they were. But I was kind of across from like the Peru camp, which included a lot of the Brazilian players because their coach is Brazilian. And they were just, I could see Replicate Peru's coach and Mazo like popping off like when they were winning and they were like hugging and they're like so starting sick. The cheers.
The Peru chants were so sick. That was amazing.
Yeah. It was seriously like one section, like kind of in the front. Like they were, that was the Peru section for sure. And it was so, so fun. But it wouldn't have been as good if Zeta wasn't like such a comparable like opponent.
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
They did amazing, but I just think Peru was unlocked. I couldn't get over Draken. That's my goat. That's my goat. Krustle is key.
A KO streak of 4 on Krustle is just crazy.
Like everything he did was in. Like I was like. Jaw to the floor. I was like, I've never seen a Krustle move like this. This is crazy.
Yeah. And then
they secured Ray as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, just insane. Kia, too. I always love my support and tank.
Just
but
composition. Like, it was what? Krustle, Cypher, Lucario. You know, like these picks aren't exactly meta picks or anything. You said, it was their comfort, their comfort picks. Like whenever I think of an Anemo, I always think Scyther. But to see them win with that was just absolutely just bananas.
Yeah.
I can't even think of words right now.
I went back to like, I left the arena after finals and I was like, oh, I want to check on like the third place game, which was LG and Santos. And I like look over, I see LG's running like Scyther, like Krustle. I was like, okay, they watched Grands. maybe didn't, but I was like, in my head, I'm like, they're reheating their nachos. Like, and LG got third, so.
Yeah, they beat him 3-1. I was watching that match during the Pokemon Go like watch party, like on the casual stream.
Nice.
I was like looking over at the Unite area because I had like a little higher advantage.
A good view. They did not want us to watch that.
Yeah, a bit of a bummer how those B-stage ones happen. I think in a perfect world, we'd have the third place match on Saturday, technically, still. It's just these days are already, we're trying to jam so many matches on that main stage, but...
I just wish they had kept like the TVs up, but I understand they were probably already like getting stuff put away. But it was kind of like, okay,
I don't.
We just leave it up for like one more.
It was for sure recorded.
The B stage wasn't up.
But it just didn't get uploaded.
It wasn't on the like B stream footage. So hopefully they post that soon. I know I don't think the third place match got uploaded for last year either. So hopefully it gets up there. But it's those third place ones are always a little strange. Like there's some money for on the line between them, and it's just like, all right, are they, how hard are they trying? But watching those teams, they both
get the
like,
Pokemon card.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big deal.
Card, the trophy.
You get the top three and top four Pokemon card too, by the way. So yeah, you're definitely playing for. Hopefully they upload.
That's what I'm saying. That's more money right there.
Exactly. Kello, anything more about the championship? Any more thoughts on the championship Sunday before we move on to our next topic?
No thoughts. I think I've pretty much covered everything.
It was a great tournament. We had so much fun as a team covering it. It was a blast.
Hold on, I had a thought that I was thinking of in the middle of this. How cool is this potential, right? I didn't think about it until right now how much I want to see this. We need Zeta to go to LAIC.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
That needs to happen so badly.
Talking.
Yes.
I didn't even think about the implications of that after having a LATAM versus Japan.
Like never again. Rolling up the sleeves.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so sick.
Time to defeat. Because
LIC's like their season opener, and it's like our world champs. Like, I don't know. I hope I'm going to be there, but you know, it's like their region. And after LATAM just had such a great world.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't wait for LAIC.
Oh, I hope so. We didn't get too many Latin America North teams there last time. I know like the old Hoenn roster made it, right? And so hopefully we get a few more because one, I think LAIC is so cool and it's not announced, but I think it's very safe to assume that likely another ACL spot will be on the line for that first place again. So like maybe more teams will be incentivized to join. I think it'd be really fun. And Sao Paulo's sick, so I hope more teams can try to make the trip out.
It sounds lit.
That's really cool. Okay, we've talked a lot of positivity, a lot of great things about Worlds. We do kind of have to address the elephant in the room a little bit here. There was, let's do a little bit of context backstory first. For the long time, the policy for playing in these Unite tournaments is that you can bring your own device, whether it be Switch, mobile device, whatever, as long as it has a USB-C compatible device. So you can plug in and get the Ethernet connection because at these events, we have a LAN client that the players are playing Pokemon Unite on. So that has been the policy for a long time. To be totally honest, it has caused problems for a long time. You might have noticed we have a lot of pauses on our broadcasts, usually during the start of the day when and it's usually the first time that we get teams on a team on stage as they get their devices set, they get figuring out on the stations how they work and everything. But of course, issues are going to happen no matter what. Like, I don't care. The perfect solution doesn't exist. You will have some kind of pauses and delays and things like that. So that has been the policy for a long time. At the start of day two in the tournament, a call was made by the officials that we are going to be basically forcing players to play on provided devices instead of their brought ones that they played with on day one because there were just too many issues and we needed to ensure connectivity to the whatever. No more like delays for disconnects or whatever it is. I think you can have like a lot of thoughts on that. I'm just trying to like, relay out the facts here at first and we'll kind of go into it a little more in depth here in a sec. But obviously, people were livid about this, especially mobile players, which, yes, in the East, there is a greater percentage of mobile players. So that was a huge part of the kind of like outrage. And then, they stuck with it. They stuck with it for the rest of the day. Yes, I'm trying to think if I want to have any more clarifiers before we actually like bring it open to a conversation. I think one was like there was some talk around going around like, well, it was a specific player's device that was causing so many problems and that's why the call was made. I don't think there's any real way to confirm whether it was one player's device was like the straw that broke the camel's back, if that makes any sense. Like, this has been just an ongoing issue that it just eventually was like, okay, something needs to change. Now let's get into the actual conversation. Takeout Coffee is saying they want to sell more Switch 2s, more bad. Two different companies. Nintendo and Pokemon are two different companies, so they... No. But anyway, I get your vibe. let's get into the card. I think we're all probably of the same opinion here that whatever the decision was to be, playing on your own devices, playing on your the decision to change mid tournament was a incorrect, wrong decision. Do we all kind of agree on that point?
Of course.
I was just trying to get us fired.
Okay, I'm just saying. Hey. This feels like a careful way to say this, but hey, I don't think it's a correct decision.
Come on
our podcast and say insult
get
your
indicted.
Yeah. I mean, always more time for stuff like that is good. I think that it, even if it was just like a few days before the tournament, would have been a whole lot less backlash. I think there was a tweet from Flash, I want to say. I forget who tweets what, that said that, like, with maybe, like, it was something like 5 days of practice on a device, they could probably get comfortable with it. Don't quote me on that. Somebody go tell me what the number of days was and who tweeted
that. Okay. And he tweeted that today and been saying he'd need, like, 5 days of, like, at minimum 4 hours of playing on the device. So, like, if you want to do the math, like, 20-some hours of playing on a device to feel comfortable on it. And that's probably just, like, at a baseline level. Like, not, like, you know, second nature, but just comfortable on a new device. Yeah. So yeah, that was big change.
Did not hit that time frame.
No.
which I think, like, obviously it's like such a high stress environment for players already that I'm the kind of guy that needs to like mentally prepare to like go to the grocery store, you know. I can't imagine like having to like mentally switch from what I thought was happening for such a big thing. So totally understand where the players were coming from, but also like name a Unite tournament where we've never had a delay. You can't like a LAN at least. So
NAIC, we might not have had one.
It went really well. I think we still had like one or two during the start
of
the day.
We had like
but
one
it went really
pause.
Well.
Yeah.
That was a miracle though. Miracle tournament. I don't know how that happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
But then it also makes me think back to like LAIC as well, where there were really long pauses as well. It's like obviously such one of those touchy subjects, but I mean, given the timing, you know, being day two, probably, as mentioned, probably not given players enough time and chance, but it's, you know, in the end, I do not envy those that actually ended up having to make those tough decisions. Obviously, we know that a lot of thought and trial and error and, you know, back and forth would have been done in order to make a call like that.
It was
pretty much okay, like this is the best solution that we can come up with given how far behind we were in time already, it's definitely valid, like players feelings and everything and their whole thing, definitely valid and definitely see it from both angles of the playing field. So hopefully, you know, it's one of those things where you learn from those things, and hopefully just moving forward, it just leads to improvements. One of the biggest sayings is you learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, it's necessarily a mistake, but it's just one of those situations that, you know, happens. And unfortunately, that's just life at times where things happen and you just got to learn from that and move forward. So it's hard.
I think you're spot on, truly.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
speaking
no one
of...
wants.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Bridget. Yeah.
So I was gonna say no one wants delays, and no one wants the players to not be playing their best. And
exactly.
None of us, you know, it's a heat of the moment call, like you said. So they had to do what they had to do. Yeah. Exactly.
So one thing that I wanted to mention, because I didn't see it coming up in a lot of the conversations, is like the third element going on in a lot of this, whether it's like phones and then like connection via cable and everything. Something that doesn't get brought up a lot is like the fact that we are on the LAN client, which is like a factor that does not get talked about enough. Like, I think something had to give, you know, in how we were running these tournaments, own devices or LAN client. And the idea of going away from LAN and back to just playing on normal online Unite, like, listen, we play this game. We understand. Brelvin Worlds Year One played a match on Red Ping in London, like in person event. I don't know what happened,
yikes.
But like things like that can occur. And how do we even fix that? You know what I mean? So I don't know. There is a, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I love USB-C as a connection type for convenience to run an eSport via a very flimsy connection into a phone that is to a LAN client. Your phone will be getting a specific IP address from that connection. As soon as it pops out for a second, it will lose it and will need to be readdressed as it gets plugged in. No matter what, you're going to have a disconnection. I hate USB-C connection types. Pisses me off for these, because it just, like, there's no other phones all have them, so it's just like what we're stuck with anyway,
the default.
Hello, brought it up.
iPhones have USB-C now,
the new ones do, but the new ones do, the old ones were Lightning, but as a general rule we weren't allowing iPhones because Lightning cable, there was no good Ethernet adapter to use with the iPhones. But Kella, you mentioned, speaking of moving forward, we should talk about the thing that came out today. Is Unite Esports posted a review of tournament operations policy for Unite in 2026. So a big post from Unite Esports addressing the controversy, which, all right, already a big step in the right direction.
I didn't expect this, not gonna lie.
I don't know if any of us did. Basically, it just says, thank you for your concerns. We got feedback during the event. We sincerely acknowledge the changes did not meet the expectations of the players who had preparing diligently for the event. Okay, going forward, all participants will compete using devices provided by the tournament organizers. That says all participants. It doesn't include, like, that umbrella would probably land on Switch players too. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. For players competing on smartphones, tournament organizers will supply devices with sufficient hardware specifications to support optimal gameplay. That was another big part of the controversy, is that people were playing on apparently 30 FPS locked phones. I do believe that got fixed kind of after a couple of matches on the first day. But yeah, these replies are crazy. Sorry, I got those up on screen too.
See what the people are saying.
It is funny that, like, if you keep scrolling, like, there are actually, like, some really positive ones too in the mix, but whatever. And then the next one, device information will be confirmed at least 75 days before the 2026 Pokemon World Championship. So that is for players who are, wanting to purchase said phone to practice on the phone that we'll be playing on at the event. We are working on updating our operations for other live events as well, and we'll release details for each event separately when they are available. So this is going forward for the next World Championships, but that clause does make it seem like we will be addressing the problem of these things before something like LAIC or something like that. So yeah, people saying 75 days is not enough. I agree. I don't, like, I would like a way bigger time frame. That is a deadline. So hopefully it happens well before then. This is just what they're committing to, is like, it won't happen any later than that. My hunch is that these next couple ICs will likely be some testing grounds. And then as soon as they're like, okay, these ones work consistently, we like these ones, they have the proper frame rate, they're updating fine, whatever, they play with our LAN client correctly, this is what we're going to use for Worlds. That's my assumption, but maybe that's too optimistic, I don't know. Okay, I've ranted for a while about this. Any thoughts on this letter?
Yeah, I have like a...
I was curious what 75 days was before Worlds next year, because we have the dates already.
Right.
Apparently it's June 14th. Okay. So if that helps you frame. So basically, like, as the regular season ends, you would have off season to know what the phone is going to be. I was just curious.
I have this like hyper positive, like, dream situation that comes out of this, which is probably never going to happen, but how cool would it be if they took this opportunity, which I know they haven't done before, but to get a partnership with a phone brand to make a specific phone, the phone of UCS, right? And that way, or the mobile device of UCS, and that way, you know, they get the exact phone. Everybody knows exactly what the phone is. Potentially there could be more funding for UCS. Everything about that could be super duper cool. Not saying it's going to happen, but I think that would be a really cool way to turn a situation like this, that's like not a great situation, into something that's like awesome for everybody. You know, they could even like make a version that has like Pokemon on it or something. I don't know.
Whoa. Okay. Like
you're spitting.
I mean, that's an amazing idea. I don't know if TBCI is ever going to do something like that, but
I'm just dreaming. Zoinks.
I love you dreaming.
Hey, let him cook.
Right. You look at the partnerships they have, like for example, the Razer collaboration they have, and everything like that, having the peripherals. I mean, I feel like it's not
okay. Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Out of possibilities.
Yeah, didn't they have like a UCS gamer chair at, or maybe it was an ACL gamer chair at ACL? Yeah.
Hey, TPC loves partnerships. They sell chocolate every stream. TPCI is not of the same vein usually, at least not historically. But they have been changing. They have been changing some stuff up. The Razer partnerships is actually a great mention. Honestly, that's what we should have players have on stage. Are you kidding me? A bunch of Gengar headphones on stage playing? That's what we should have as main headphones. That'd be awesome.
We don't have the chairs over in the West, but I know because the Razer collaboration was first done in China, I believe.
Yeah.
But they have, the chairs. There's an Eevee chair. I want a chair with an Eevee on it.
Yeah, get that on stage yesterday.
But yeah, the Gengar headphones would look sick on those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Bridget? Any thoughts on the letter and the response here from, well, UCS and play Pokemon?
Yeah, it's a lot. I am not a phone gamer. Zoinks is, you know, he's that for this. I am holding it down the Switch too. And I mean, unironically, I saw a lot of Eastern players being like, I bought a Switch too. Like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. Like, I want to be able to, like, know. Like, I want to be able to practice now. Like, I care about this now. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, like, response that, like, I feel like was kind of joked about at first, but now it's, like, Shingdi's, like, day 5 on the Switch, too, you know? Right. Like, I don't even know if Shingdi is one of them. But
my,
like,
favorite is
like
they're
I'm
all
seeing.
Posting clips of them getting snapback on their moves. I saw Luna, like, use an Aegis Slash ult towards, like, it's towards red buff, and he's like, no!
it's a set of challenges. Yeah, welcome. I don't know. I just think, like, I've seen a lot of, like, things. I know Smim is mentioning, like, some of the stuff Ender was saying, like, there should be, like, phone checks, like, maybe during, like, media day, like, to me, but, when I first saw this, I was like, I know, I'm sure that is a bigger bear than just, oh, just, like, check them. But, like, I do think there needed to be a compromise and there needed to be a precedent. And I'm very pleased that they've been like, look, we know this sucked transparently.
Yeah.
Here's just what it's going to be. Like, I feel like they're trying to make it not horrible for the phone players, but I am hanging a lot on that, like, sufficient hardware for optimal gameplay line item. I do feel like that is them acknowledging, like, yeah, we had phones and, like, yeah, they kind of sucked, or, like, they maybe weren't the highest FPS. I don't know. I hope that is at least some acknowledgement and understanding of that. I don't know. They obviously don't do this for other games. Well, I guess they do it. It's very different for the other games, right? I mean,
yes.
On VG, it's just like a rental team, right? Like, you can just kind of like pop that bad boy in and Pogo, no offense, you're just tap, tap, tapping away.
Right. And so, hey, it is Pogo had the most tech problems out of any game at this World Championships, all right? So, I mean,
maybe it's the phones. Maybe it's iPhones. It seems like iPhones suck. I don't know. But
Pogo use rental phones. They don't use their own devices.
Yes, but really? They don't have a LAN client, which is a big difference.
Okay,
so,
that's what
I don't know which Discord it was, but I was going to war on that one side. No, guys, Pogo's not a good, like, it's not a one-to-one because they don't have a LAN client, and all their problems are always Wi-Fi based every single event, and it's just like it's a whole mess. So
I do think we have we have a very unique problem.
Yes,
I feel like compared to the other games, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Sorry, Kello. Let me happen.
Well, I will say too. Oh, sorry. Now I'm interrupting you. Real quick. But as somebody, you know, who's I've done a lot of esports for a lot of mobile games, and it always sucks. Mobile devices,
yes,
are never good. Never, ever, ever good. I have some, I could talk about nightmare stories about doing mobile device esports for like an hour. So I won't do it right now. But the fact that it's kind of come to this point where like taking this long for it to be like a, you know, like there's something needs to be addressed is pretty much a miracle, because it is just terrible always for every mobile game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. It's it's a huge challenge. I hope the standardization of the phones is a good direction. Obviously, it's not optimal. I think it's a small miracle that we've gotten to this point in the Unite Championship Series with people being able to play on their own devices, though.
I'm like kind of surprised. Yeah. It's like, wow.
I think this was a long time coming. The implementation, in my opinion, I'll stand on this one alone, was absolutely the incorrect timing. But
yes.
Yeah.
So
it was rough.
I don't know how, like, whether it was just the start of the day. I don't know. I know bits and pieces, but did the phones get changed, or did the FPS end up improving later on?
I think it did. I'm pretty sure it did. I don't actually know that. I was told, hey, they fixed the FPS, but like, I don't have any way to confirm that without talking to players who played it later in the day. So I'm not sure.
Peru, because I'm the one that ended up taking their phones back. They were playing on four rental devices themselves during the grand finals as well. So it was more just I don't really know.
I think Draken's the only Switch player too, right?
I think there's one on Zeta and one Switch player on Peru. I have a really funny video of the arena. I don't even know who it was, but someone on Peru is literally like forehead, like top of head to camera, because he's like looking at his phone.
It's always a Nemo, because his hair is also massive.
And he's like the captain, so his like face is so big in that little POV, and he's just like fully down. It is so funny.
Yeah, God, and Idol in our chat is correct. Vidopo's the Switch player on Zeta. I also think Tomato's the Switch player too, by the way. I think they have two Switch players.
Okay.
If I
thought it was Tomato.
Yeah,
was Switch, so, but I could be wrong.
No, I think it's two of them. I think Vidopo and Tomato, I think, are both Switch players. If I remember correctly, but. It was fun to. I got to sit like right behind Zeta. It was fun to watch Fidopo warm up. That guy was just gaming. He was just doing like Blaziken with no cool. He was doing Blaziken with no cooldowns and just hitting bots. I'm like, oh shit!
Yeah,
just like, that's awesome. Whatever he's doing, I actually like watching the players warm up quite a bit. So whenever we get to go on an interview for stage, like usually the next team's warming up or something like that, and watching like. One player that comes to mind, well, two doing the same thing. I know Toon and Flareon's warm up the same way. They just load in with intel and they just snap shots again and again, like just to get your aim down, which I think is really, really fun. But okay, I think I'm gonna have to call it for this episode. I think we're gonna finish up here, and then we'll talk even more stuff next week. We got. Still a lot to talk about. There were announcements for Pokemon Unite at the end. We kind of already talked about some of them. We have some new releases, but I think that's content we can save for next week. I think we got to close up shop. We talked a lot. This is all world stuff. It was a ton of fun. But yeah, I think this is where we'll end the post-Worlds Mega episode. So thank you everybody so much for joining. But before we bounce, Kello, is there anything that you want to shout out? Anything like that? And if not, just where can people find you on the internet?
Just got to mention Smim there, the t-shirt cannon.
Oh, so good.
So next time, so good. Whole episode.
Right. They had so much fun.
That was amazing.
I could talk about the Spraggles. That outfit is going to go triple platinum in the next Spraggles 2.
We might have to ban it. We might just have to ban it. Like, it would be too strong of a draft.
It's too powerful. I was literally thinking that every time I saw, like, all their outfits every day. I'm like, ooh, good for the next draft.
Cool. We could get Spraggles and Dupesnecks for next episode, and we just do a whole t-shirt cannon episode. It's all themed on t-shirt cannons.
I think we could. That'd we should milk that.
That'd be awesome. Can I just say, I got the experience of walking from the hotel to the venue with them in the morning while they were fully dressed. And next, it's next to the line. So the line went like from our hotel almost all the way, you know, to the arena. And the amount of people turning and going, what? it was unbelievable. That's why I tweeted that picture where I just said aura farming, where I'm walking behind them. Uh-huh. It was an incredible experience.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay.
I can't.
Kello.
Also, one other thing to note as well, your TikTok with the chuck and a fit, that was top tier as
thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was good.
Yeah, a little shout out. Go check out Zoinks' TikTok.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. I love the shout out.
He's been cooking. Yeah.
I've had some good ones recently. It's been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Throwing a fit is really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, well, great shout outs, Kello. Wonder Chef, anything of mine or your own that you'd like to shout out here at the end of the episode?
Yeah, I'll just keep on shouting out more of your TikToks. I think that's a really important thing to talk about. No,
yeah. There was more. I can bring them up. It's fine. You go ahead.
Later. It's cool. You've been doing TikTok, but I haven't been doing anything. I think we all have a sponsored post recently, which is pretty cool. So I do have that if anybody wants to see it. It's about 30 seconds of me talking about nothing. But that's all of that is all of my plans. I am completely planless for the next several months. So somebody
hire this man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cry for help.
Somebody talk to me, man. I'm bored.
Perfect. Sounds like maybe a permanent spot on the Overdunk podcast. We'll see.
On the spot, live on the broadcast is crazy. Yeah.
We'll go to the negotiations next. All right, Bridget, how about you? Anything to plug here at the end of the episode?
I don't think so. Ground on. Yeah. September 4th.
Crazy. Around the corner.
What? I need them to tell me something more. This is crazy. I really need them to stop talking about the megas and focus on the Unite, but it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, give us an animated trailer for Groudon map. That'd be awesome. Something big is coming.
Cool. Give me like the horror trailer of Groudon.
I just need to do the voiceover. I mean, he did a great voiceover for the largest marble. I mean,
perfect. You know. Yeah, he'd crush. He'd do so well. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Other than that, check out my TikTok at ZoinksCast. Got some heaters over there. But otherwise, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Overdunk, where we get to talk all things Worlds. I'm glad we did get our T-shirt canon conversation in there because I would be.
There's too much. We will talk more.
We did a meet and greet, and it was very fun to watch Spraggles and Doopsnax do their cape twirls. And Doopsnax was extremely good at any kind of cape flourish.
He looks Spraggles, like the type.
A little less practiced, it seemed.
He wasn't confident. No. I think he was lacking confidence. And yeah. Doopsnax oozes self-confidence.
I know we need to stop talking, but there was a moment where, like, genuinely behind the scenes, Doopsnax and Spraggles were talking to each other, and Doopsnax looks at Spraggles and says, I feel like you really just didn't do enough cape flourishes. And Spraggles looks at him and says, I'm not looking for feedback.
Like, they literally are just like that.
Those guys are my best freaking friends, man. I love them so much.
Like, I know them. Oh, my gosh. They did good.
They're the best. All right, everybody. This has been Overdunk. Thank you so much. If you made it this far in the episode, please comment below what your favorite part of the World Championships was. And we'll see you all next week, Dunkheads. Goodbye.
Bye.
I always can't find the ending button. There it is.